We study God's Word together. We worship together. We fellowship together. We serve together. And so will you come? Will you come do this with us? Will you come and help the First Baptist Church of San Antonio be better together? If you would, find in your bulletin our reverse text for this week, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, and we're going to read that aloud together. This then is the text for today. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. May God bless the reading of his word. First, I hope you'll notice something peculiar about this passage, that though it is deeply Christological, as we work down through it, there is a specific ecclesiology too, that this passage is inherently about Jesus Christ. But those words about Jesus and of Jesus dramatically affect the church and everything that we do in this place. Jesus Christ is the most important aspect of who we are. That when we talk about ourselves, we talk about Jesus. When we talk about who we are and we talk about what we are doing, we talk about Jesus. He is who we point to, and it's his work that we are about. See, the primary driving factor, who we are and what we do, has been specifically inaugurated by Jesus Christ himself. You see, that which is happening this morning didn't happen in worship planning. It didn't happen because your ministers and directors got together and planned a few things. What you see and what you hear and what you experience in worship is a product of heaven, the work of Jesus Christ, so that in this place and over the airwaves, as we worship, this is holy, of the Christ, ordained by God himself. Now, what we read here is that since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his bride, that is, the church, has operated in a specific way. It's a different way, a way that has been defined by new blood. See, maybe that's a better way to think about the law, or maybe that's a better way to think of the covenant, is that now there is new blood. That in Jesus Christ, there is a new blood over his church. It was costly for the Christ, but made available to you because he paid that price. So that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, when Scripture says that we have confidence, that we have opportunity, that we're free and open to move now to enter into that holy place by the blood of Jesus. This is new blood. That there was a time before this new blood when all access to God was limited. By and large, limited to the nation of Israel, who were blessed to have God in their midst, sharing life and wisdom with the likes of Moses and David and the prophets. But access at large, access to the people, was inhibited by a prescription of God, of a tabernacle, and then a temple. See, this is what verse 19 is referring to when it's talking about a holy place. Before this new blood of Jesus Christ, the holy place was a protected place with limited movement, with limited access, protected by outer walls and multi-layered embroidered curtains, so that only one person a year could enter into that most holy place. And that one person a year, going one time a year, interacted with God exclusively for the forgiveness of sins on the Day of Atonement. One person, once a year, was the normal rhythm of the tabernacle, the normal rhythm of the temple. So verse 19 is a watershed moment. It's a watershed moment for those who love the Lord and believe. Because verse 19 would have made no sense before this new blood of Jesus Christ. To say that you or I, or anyone in this room could come into the holy presence of God in the holies of holies before this new blood would have been blasphemous. And yet, the slain Christ takes us by the hand and walks us into the holiest of places, into the presence of God, so that we have intimate and unfettered access to our God above. See, verse 20 reminds us that all of this happened in a specific moment in time for us. That when Jesus' body was being torn apart in the crucifixion, the veil of the temple rising some 60 feet into the air was ripped from top to bottom. And this wasn't structural failure. This wasn't weakness of workmanship, but this was the temple veil being ripped apart and revealing the efficacy of this new blood that had been splattered on the ground beneath the cross at Golgotha. That the Holy of Holies is now open to the followers of Jesus Christ in a way that was not available before the incarnation of the Christ. Now, and when we talk about we talk about us. And as you work through this text and you see the we and the us and the our, we speak of Jesus. It's important to speak of the roles that Jesus fulfills for us in this way. Verse 21 clarifies this work that Jesus has done, that we now have a great high priest. See, in the old blood, there were priests who fulfilled their duties to care for the temple and to care for the people of God. And there was a high priest who would take the sacrifices of the people into the holy place once a year. But those people were just as flawed as we are. Think Eli and his sons in 1 Samuel. But this new blood is different. And this new blood has a new way. That Jesus is now our high priest, functioning in a way that is the culmination of that work. Those old blood priests were working hard with what they had to work with, but their work was like trying to empty the ocean with a shovel. It was always going to be incomplete. They would always be weary. God told them to do it, and so they did, in faith. And Jesus came to complete that work that the blood of bulls and rams could never finish. When Jesus' blood flowed, mixed with water, and the temple veil was torn in two from top to bottom, that work was complete. He was both the high priest and the sacrifice, slain and living at the same time. It's interesting, if you move back up to verse 20, so that when we hear of a new and living way in Hebrews 10:20, that word new in Greek is only used here in the New Testament. The Greek word is prosphatos, and it literally means freshly slain. It was a word that butchers use to talk of a new slaughter. That Jesus is this new sacrifice of new blood, freshly slain, but one that lives. Jesus is Abraham and Isaac. Jesus is the high priest and the corporate sacrifice. Jesus is the Revelation 5 slain lamb who lives even still. You see, Hebrews keeps encouraging us in this way. So we move down in verse 22. Hebrews tells us, so all of this being true then, let us draw near. Now, some people, out of a reverence for this glorious work, stand back. They hesitate so that they can take it all in. They pause in respect. They're floored like John before Christ at Patmos. But Scripture here, and Hebrews here, keeps calling us in, saying, come. Come into this holy presence of God, and if you will draw in near to Him, He will draw in near to you. Now, most folks hesitate, but they're not hesitating out of reverence. Most folks are quite different. For most people, now that there is access, they take it for granted. Now that the tabernacle walls have been taken down, and the temple's veil has been carried off so that the holy place is exposed, most people just keep walking past it like it's derelict, something of the past to be built over by a renovator. But let us no longer walk past, but let us draw in near to this holy place of God, and let us do it together as we have been called in this Scripture to do. So you'll notice all the way through this text, Hebrews 10, 19 through 25, that the pronouns are plural, we, us, our, because this is a corporate work together as a church, a privileged opportunity for us to enter into God's presence by the new blood of Jesus Christ together. So let us come now. Let's not make excuses any longer, but draw in near to God together. May we lay aside all temptations. May we lay aside all distractions. May we lay aside all sin and focus in on this work that God has for us together. Now, there's a specific ending here in this paragraph. It's a call to the church to encourage one another. That we're in this divine life together. We are with the Christ and we're with one another. You know, it's interesting, this text was written some 2,000 years ago, as we see it written here. It says, do not give up the habit of meeting together as believers. And then you have that parenthesis. It says, as is the habit of some. See, this temptation of skipping church goes all the way back to the beginning. That as long as there has been church, there has been the temptation to skip church. That as long as believers have gathered, there were believers making excuses for not going to that gathering. And here we are being encouraged, saying, do not give up this time together. It matters more than anything. As you gather together with the Christ, it is critical to life. You know, as you look back on this, we have some early evidence of what was going on and why some were skipping out on these meetings of believers. Some of those folks were no longer coming because they were scared. They were scared of the punishments of the government that was cracking down on believers. And some of us can almost understand that, but even still, the call is that even when we are afraid to meet with believers because there in Christ your fears will be relieved. But it's interesting because there's other ancient evidence that even above and beyond the persecution, there were some who were seeming to not show up because they had business affairs to take care of, as if making profit was more important than showing up or spending time with believers. And to both, the call of Scripture is remember Jesus and gather. This is who we are. We are in it together. And this has been offered to us by the body and blood of Jesus Christ. May we never take it for granted. You see, meeting and serving together is a privilege that has been handed down from heaven, and that you have complete access to God because of what Jesus Christ has done on your behalf in the crucifixion. So why in the world do you keep walking? Why do you walk past the torn veil as if it's some kind of relic? Why do we keep pressing on? Why do we ignore this privilege that's been given to us? Why would business be more important than meeting with fellow believers in the presence of God? Why would fear of the government keep you from drawing in near to God in worship? This time, together, was paid for by Christ at a cost. Do not throw this time away with that ripped veil. You know, one of the things you'll find, too, that as we gather, specific kinds of things happen in the body when we're together. One of those things that happens in the body when we're together is that sin is confessed. Sin that builds up walls between us and our God and us and fellow believers is confessed so that it's torn down and we're drawn in close to one another as we're drawn close to our Lord. You'll also find as those barriers are ripped away of sin and temptation, you'll find that we strengthen one another. As we encourage, we strengthen, and we hold each other accountable in following Jesus Christ. And today, that's one of the things that we recognize together, that we hold each other accountable in this obedience to the Christ, that once we have committed our lives to the kingdom of God, we have certain responsibilities, and we have certain gifts, and we have certain opportunities that have been laid before us by God, and to ignore them is sinful. And so together, we look at these and we work hard in developing our ever-deepening relationship with our Lord. And today is a special day like this. One of the ways that we encourage one another as believers at the First Baptist Church of San Antonio is a tradition of annual commitment cards. Look like this. And with these, we proclaim together that we are called to obey Jesus. And these are some basic scriptural ways we have found together to serve and hold each other accountable. So what you'll recognize, you should have these in your bulletin, and you're going to need to take this out, and you're going to need to have this for the response time today. Because one of the things that we recognize as we were working on this Better Together sermon, summer series, is that we hadn't done the commitment card in a couple of years. And it was time for us to commit to the work of the church again together. Now, to be clear, these kinds of things are not where salvation is found. When we're talking about salvation, that is in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a first step of commitment to Him. where you believe on that work and you are saved. But what we recognize is once we come to the Christ and we are a part of a church, Jesus keeps working on us. God continues to build us up into great men and women of God. And what we have found together are these kinds of things, are basic ways to help continue to strengthen our faith and to build us up in the church. And so, as is tradition in our church, is we commit to these things together. And so we're doing that again in this new day. And I'm going to note all six of these and take special note. And as you do, we hope that you will experience and know each one of these in the coming year. Now, as you see these, you may recognize one or two that are critical. One or two that God may be working on your heart with today. And I want you to take special note of those. But you need these kinds of things in your life to develop and strengthen and encourage your relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as a church, we want to promote that, encourage that, and hold one another accountable. So first on the list is I will read weekly. And in this is coming to the scriptures where I'm going to come to Reverse and I'm going to soak in Reverse through the week to hear everything that the Lord has for me today, because we know these pages are alive and active and are sharing with us new life every single day. And so we expect you to become intimate with the scriptures if you are a part of this church. We say, as a part of this church, I want to know the scripture intimately. And so we have, I will read weekly. And you can add on or what you need for that if you need to. The second one is I will gather regularly. That's what we've been talking about today. We see in Hebrews chapter 10 that this is Bible study. This is worship. I'm going to be with fellow believers working out this faith week in and week out. I will gather regularly. The next one, I will give generously. We know that God speaks into every aspect of our lives, including our pocketbooks, including our budgets. And if we haven't given our budget over to the Lord, we are in peril. So may each one of us give our budgets over to the Lord and give as He calls us to give. I will give generously. The next one is I will pray faithfully. Our life with the Lord is completely bound up in prayer. A relationship can't continue without communication, including your relationship with God. There has to be communication between you and He. And so I'm going to pray faithfully, and I'm going to spend time on my knees with my Lord to listen and to share. The next one is, I will serve enthusiastically. How has the Lord called you to live out this faith when you hear something like, love your neighbor as yourself? You hear things like us hosting refugees and immigrants in our building, or you hear that we're serving school children and teachers when the school year is opening up. You hear of these mission trips, that there is a place to serve in the church that you need to get your hands dirty and you need to get your feet going, because God has given each one of us in this place a gift and abilities that need to be used for His sake. And as long as we are here, and as long as we are gathering together as a church, we need to use those gifts and those abilities that God has given us. If not, we are in sin. And then lastly, on the card is, I will live missionally. My hope and my prayer is that in the next year, every one of us will share the gospel with at least one person. That's what we mean by this, is that when I say I will live missionally, is that I will be a witness. How are you working on your witness? And what would it look like for you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't yet know Jesus in the coming year? And so as we work through this, we know in the Great Commission, Jesus called us to live this way. And so as believers in Christ, we want to faithfully commit to do that which He has called us to do. And we know that in Christ, to obey Him is to love Him. And to love Him is to obey Him. And so as a church, this is one of the ways that we try to do this together. Now, we're going to have a different kind of response time here. Let me explain the response time, and then we will pray. and then we will respond. So in the response time, your normal avenues of responding to the Lord are available to you. So let me say it this way. Pastor Brian and I will be on the corners, on each corner, to receive anybody that wants to pray, anybody wants to talk about accepting Christ or becoming a part of this church. We're ready to receive you, and we'll be on either corner ready to do that. Also, you'll see some ways, this in your listening sheet. Maybe you'd like to respond to God in one of those ways. We'll have time to sing. You'll have time to pray. You can pray where you are. You can come forward. Now, the stairs and steps are covered today, but you can come kneel up at the front and pray. If you want to come pray at the altar, this is open. This is a time for you to come pray prayers of thanksgiving. It's time for you to come pray prayers of repentance. What do you need to pray? You can come and do that down as well. Now, the big change for today and how today will be different is we have baskets up here too. You see lining the front, there are baskets all along here. We also have baskets in the balcony. And so for those of you in the balcony, you'll see those in the back of the balcony as well. What we expect is for all of us to fill out this card and for all of us to get up so that there's going to be a lot of movement. See, that's what we want. We have an opportunity to move in worship. And I want you to think about it this way. As you get up and as you move, this movement is as obedience unto Jesus Christ. This is you doing that which Jesus called you to do. So it's not just us getting up and holding a card, but this is us saying, I'm committed to Jesus and I'm committed to this church. I'm going to obey Jesus, and I'm going to do that work in this church. And so we want you to sign this and mark it up, and we want you to come and bring it and put it in the baskets. Same thing in the balcony. You would get up, and you'll find the baskets at the back, and you'll put those in there. Now, let me also tell you, these baskets are multi-purpose baskets. And this is what I mean. If you're a guest today, we don't expect you as a guest to fill out one of these, but we do ask you as a guest to fill out one of these. They should be in the pew back in front of you. And we just want to get to know your name and get to know who you are, and this is how we do that. You can bring these forward and put them in the baskets as well. Also, for your offering, we are expecting you to come and put any offerings in these baskets as well. So offerings, visitor cards, commitment cards, the blue ones, and then we also have green ones for our children. Your children should have those already. And we're going to bring those down as a response, as an act of worship to Jesus Christ our Lord. So in just a moment, I'm going to pray. And when I say amen, we expect all of us to get up in worship, to move in worship, and be obedient to Jesus Christ in this way. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we love you. We want to be committed to you. Lord, we want to follow you as a church. Lord, we want to see the kingdom of God. And we want to see the kingdom of God grow. We want to see the work of Jesus Christ on every front. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would stir in our hearts and Lord, rid us of any sin that lingers. Lord, draw us in near to you. And Lord, we pray that this time would be worshipful, holy, and led by the Spirit. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.